Now, my duties, this is important. The pastor, according to scriptures, the scriptures, is the overseer, which means bishop, and the under shepherd, which means pastor, of the church. Therefore, his duties and responsibilities shall be preaching the word. Spiritual leader of the flock, the pastor shall exercise the duties of the overseership of the church. And I remember when the church was interviewing me, I asked the church one question. Not many of you were here at that time. Do you want a pastor or a preacher? Because if you want a preacher, just pay people to come and preach. If you want a pastor, that means he is a shepherd. That means he leads the flock. And so, do you want someone to lead the flock and be that leader, or do you just want someone who preaches? I'm not interested in just being a preacher. And so, you still voted for me to come, even though I said that. But that's what it tells us here. Spiritual leader of the flock. He is the teach the word, visitation of the flock and of the unsaved, evangelism, and then warning of modernism. That is, becoming worldly in this modern time. All right, so I need to preach against that, and I am to preach against apostasy. That is, a turning away from the truth. And so that's my job description. You get a job description when you go to work, I suspect. Well, that is my job description. What about the deacons? Because there's the office of the deacons. That's why I just saw Peter sit up a little bit straighter then. Okay, Peter, this is what you got to do, all right? This is what duties of the board of deacons. Assist in the administration of the ordinances, like down here at the Lord's table. Tick. Serve with the pastor in meeting the spiritual needs of the church by participating in the examination of candidates for baptism and church membership. And I must admit, I probably do that more than the deacons. Shall assist in matters of discipline, shall serve on the pulpit committee for the church, and shall be responsible for the hospitality of pastoral supplies and candidates for the pulpit. I don't exactly know what all that means, but I think it means that when you don't have a pastor, it's your job to find one, and when you don't have a pastor, you've got to make sure there's someone filling the pulpit when it happens. Pastoral supplies. It also says, should be able to use the Word of God for purpose of teaching and counseling, which I highlighted because I think that's very strange when that's not a requirement in God's Word. But our Constitution wants the deacons to be able to teach as well. Keep that in mind. The Board of Deacons shall elect from their own number a chairman, secretary, and vice chairman. So there you go. That's all you have to do as a Board of Deacons in the Constitution. There's a few others. Now, having shared that, what I want to do is tell you what I believe we see in God's Word when it comes to leadership and what offices of a local church should look like. And then if at the end of this series, the church members agree with what I have to say after we sort of discuss it and work it out and we want to go for that model, well then we will go through the process of changing things here in this local church. If you don't want to do it, well, we'll just stick to what we're doing now. But I'll tell you what I believe first that we see in God's Word, and then over the course of the next couple of weeks, I will endeavor to show you why I believe this is what God says. But I believe there are the office of deacons, and which means servant, and this office is for the practical side of the church, the ministering of tables, the practical side. And now we can go through what that really looks like at another stage. So there is the office of deacons, and then there is the office of bishops. That's the true biblical word. We will find in God's Word that it also means elders as well. And these ones have the responsibility of the leadership and the oversight and the teaching of this church. And so they are the two offices. Also, from among the elders, when it is possible, If there is a man that has a spiritual gift of past the teacher, well, then he would be one that we recognize as the leader amongst the leaders, or some would call it the first among equals. You may have a church and they have elders, but there's no one with that spiritual gift, and so they work as just one body. But if there is someone with that particular gift, they would be the one that leads the leaders, so to speak. So that's the way I believe the model we see in God's Word. Now I've got to prove that to you. What I find is the biggest problem with how our church and most Baptist churches are set up is Scripture shows us that the leadership of elders is in the plural. They are to share the load, to lead and feed and care. That's what we do see in God's Word. But in our church, if we want to just stick to the Constitution and God's Word as we portray it, well then the only elder here really in this church who has the office of elder responsible for the work of eldership is me. I'm the only one. And that's what our constitution shows. This is what the pastor is, and this is all the things he has to do. And that's my job and nobody else's. Now, because the office of pastor or elder, bishop, whichever one you want to call it, is singular in our constitution and in most Baptist churches, what that actually means is that deacons are usually used as elders, where they are referred to as the leaders of the church. And we do that. The leaders of our church have decided, and when I say that, I mean me and the diaconate have decided. So when there's only one bishop, elder, pastor, and then there's deacons, deacons usually take on more of a responsibility of the leadership of the church. When this isn't seen in the New Testament, and what happens is this forces men who are not called to the office of bishop or elder to act like them because they're deacons. And I remember once I asked a man, would you consider being a deacon of the church here? And he said, oh, I can't be a deacon, I can't teach. And I said, well, that's not actually a requirement in God's Word. You don't have to teach, you just got to be able to serve. And he said, oh, I can do that. All right, so he did become a deacon. But that's the concept that, oh, I have to be someone who has to be one of the leaders, the teachers, and so on, if I'm a deacon. And that's what you generally find in most Baptist churches particularly, a lot of deacons doing the work of the elders and the leaders of the church. But when you have deacons doing the work of the elders and ministering in various ways, what you find is there are those who aren't really gifted in the diaconating side and they're not very good at it. Or what happens is they're busily doing other things like the teaching and the leadership that the diaconating things are left to other people that aren't even deacons. And so you've got people doing the job of a deacon, but they aren't appointed as that, and they're not sure where they fit. And then you've got deacons not doing it because they're busily helping with other things, and it doesn't work very well. I'm not saying it doesn't work here. I just think it could work better. That's what I think. And so what I need to do is show you from God's Word if what I believe we see in God's Word is true. And so that's what I'm going to be doing for the next few weeks. And I have no idea how long each message is going to take because of these things, but I will end on time regardless. All right, we'll just cut it and keep going. But the first thing I want to do is explain the meaning of the words that are used for those in leadership in the local church. There are some key words in the New Testament that are used as leaders within the church. Some of them we use here, others we don't. But other churches do use it. You go to the Anglicans and you'll have some that'll be the pastor, I think. I'm not sure, but they have a bishop as well. And you go to other places. I'm not really that well in great knowledge of all the other denominations, but I'm sure they're out there. All right. I'll go visit each church and see what they do one day. Bishop. But in God's word, we see bishop. If any man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good thing. And that is the Greek word episkopos. I think there's Episcopalians. All right. So, and the word means to oversee, to look after, to be an overwatcher. So you're looking after the whole thing. That's what bishop means. Then there is elder, presbyteros, Presbyterians. I guess that's where we get that from. But where they have elders involved. And the word presbyteros can mean simply elder in age, an old bloke. But it also brings along with it the term of knowledge and wisdom and understanding. It is someone that has wisdom and knowledge due to their experiences in life. Not a novice, not a young man that doesn't know very little, but he has a good understanding of things in life. And so an elder. Then we have presbytery. We find that in our King James Version. And that is just means an assembly of elders. That's just what we say there, rather than saying, I don't know why they say that, but that's how it's translated. Shepherd, poimen, is the Greek word. One who tends flocks or herds, a shepherd, a pastor. This involves practical care and spiritual feeding. So they look at the shepherd on the hills and they take that as an example of how you're looking after the flock of God. And then we have pastor, which we are all aware of, and it's the same Greek word, poimen. Poimen, and sometimes the Greek word's translated shepherd, sometimes it's translated pastor, maybe just once. But they are the key words. So the key words that we're looking at in the New Testament are bishop, elders, presbytery, shepherd, pastor. Now, that's just the basics. The next thing is I want to show you how these words are interchangeable for the same person. In the New Testament, you won't find how there were some bishops over there and they came over here and they spoke to a group of elders, and then these two, the bishops and the elders, they all went over and spoke to the pastor or the pastors, and there's three groups of blokes. And yeah, they're the bishops, they're the elders, and they're the pastors, as though they're three. Oh, and then you've got the presbytery over there as well, and some shepherds. All right, they're not all different. Basically, when we see these words used in the New Testament, it is referring to the same person, but it is highlighting some aspect of their responsibility in the church. And so whichever word is best fitting for that, well, then that's what God had led that writer to use. And so that's what we need to look at next, how this is interchangeable. I've got it all up on the screen so you don't have to get confused. The first one is Titus. Have a look at this. It says, verse 5, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders, presbyteros, in every city, as I had appointed thee." And so Paul, as an apostle, and his representative Titus, was to ordain elders in every city in Crete that had a church. And then Paul gives him some requirements that he is to look out for these elders. He says, "If any man be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly." And then he says this, "For a bishop, episkopos, must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed." And so in the middle of saying, "I want you to ordain elders," and talking about elders, he says, "because bishops must be," referring to the same person. So it's not like he's got to find some elders and then he's got to ordain some bishops. Same guy, and these are the requirements for it. So that's one occasion. In Acts, with the church at Ephesus, Paul, it says, And from Miletus, this is Paul, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. So Paul was bidding goodbye to the church at Ephesus, and he wanted to speak to the leaders of the church. So he called the elders, not the elders and the pastors and the bishops, the whole three groups and the deacons. He just called the elders. And he said a few things, but in verse 28 he says to them, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, episkopos," that is bishops. So he is just saying to them now, to the elders, you need to look after that flock in Ephesus that the Holy Spirit has made you bishops. And what does he tell them to do? Feed them. And that is the verb form of pastor. You are to be pastoring them. Pastoring the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And so what we have here is, in this one little verse, that these men are called elders, then they're called bishops, and they are to do the job of a pastor. All three words used for the same group of men. So that's two examples. In Peter says in 1 Peter 5, verse 2, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." And so he exhorts the elders that are among them. And then this is what he tells them, feed. That word is the word, verb form of pastor, same as what those at Ephesus was meant to do. He says, pastor or feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight, the bishopric. All right, bishops, here they're mentioned again, just a different word used, English word, I should say. Therefore, not by constraint, but willingly. So you shouldn't be made a bishop, you're doing the job. You should do it willingly. Not for filthy lucre, so you're not going to do it so you can get rich, but of a ready mind, neither as lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And then he says, and when the chief shepherd, the arch, that is overall poimen, the chief shepherd, which is used, so he's referring them to Jesus now, the chief shepherd. So he's calling them pastors. "As the chief pastor shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." So now he calls them, refers to them and identifies them as pastors. "For ye are sheep going, ye were sheep going astray," this is in chapter 2, "but are now returned unto the shepherd," that's pastor, "and bishop, overseer of your souls." That's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the same one person. He's referred to as the bishop and the pastor of their souls. So it's easy to see, in my way of thinking, that the words bishop, elder, and pastor or shepherd are used interchangeably, highlighting the different duties that are to be performed by particular men in the church. They are the ones who have the responsibility of overseeing the church and making sure it runs well in that form of being a bishop. They are the ones that have the responsibility to bring wisdom and guidance as in that role as elders. They are the ones that have the responsibility of feeding the church and caring for the spiritual needs in that realm of being a pastor. Now, if we stick to our constitution model, where the pastor is the bishop, really, or the elder, then these responsibilities are primarily my job, as we saw in the duties of pastor in the constitution. Now, the reality is, if there was only 10 here today, 10 people, and I'm the pastor, I think I could do an all right job. All right? 10. But as it gets bigger, I am very well aware that I don't do a very good job, and I think it's impossible to do a very good job, to be honest, in that regard. It would make sense that God, in his wisdom, knew that one man can't fulfill all those duties. When I was going through Bible college, I got told by my pastor then, and also lecturer, when you're looking at being a pastor, if you're called, really, when it comes to spiritual gifts, a pastor really needs to have most of the spiritual gifts. Because they are going to be required to teach, shepherd, care, exhort, show mercy, to whatever all the other spiritual gifts are. So basically, you've got to be a supercharged, super gifted person. Otherwise, you're going to be found very lacking if you're the only one who has that responsibility in a church. And that is true. You will be found. You need them all, or you're going to be lacking. And so it would make sense that God, in his understanding, knows when it comes to caring for a local church, there would be more than one man doing that. And I find it interesting how that when we talk about deacons, we always say deacons, don't we? And in God's word, it always mentions deacons, not just a deacon, deacons. But what I want to show you is, what I will show you next week is that it is always in the plural. When it mentions deacons, when it mentions bishops, it's always in the plural, not the singular, just like deacons. So we would say, oh, we're only going to have one deacon. And I pity that deacon because he's going to be doing a lot of things. Poor old Levi, we just let him be the maintenance man. And he realizes that's, you probably need three maintenance men, and this is a new church. Imagine when it was old, all right? But imagine being the deacon of the church. You have to do everything, and everyone sits back and has, let's make sure he's doing all his duties right, all right? And let's criticize him when he doesn't do something, all right? That would be very hard. No, we need deacons. But when it comes to bishops or pastor, oh, we just need one of them. And this is the requirements, and then that's criticizing when he doesn't do some of it as well. That doesn't make sense either. And so we're going to see in God's word next week that when it comes to the leadership, when it comes to the bishopric, elders, it's always in the plural. Which will then make us think, well, what are we doing? We're just one of them, if that's the case. So if you have any questions so far, write it down on a bit of paper, give it to me, and I'll make sure I answer it in the next few weeks, all right? But there's a lot more to come yet. That's just the tip of the iceberg, all right? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we have one great bishop and shepherd of our soul, and that is Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is all-powerful, all-wise, and in control of all things, and we can trust our soul to him. And Lord, we know that it is your design to have a local church and have living members serving one another and caring for one another, and that, Lord, in your wisdom, you have placed those in a position of authority over us. And I pray that, Lord, you will give us wisdom to know as a church what we ought to be doing. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.